Like a war zone is how one doctor has described the emergency department at Whakatane Hospital as it was deluged with badly burned sightseers caught in the ash and steam clouds as White Island erupted. Dr. John Bonning is the president of the Australasian College for Emergency Medicine, and he was also called back into Waikato Hospital to help treat seriously injured people who transferred to his hospital and others, other hospitals around the country. Dr. Bonning says many of those patients had suffered lung injuries from inhaling ash, as well as significant burns.
Burns are really challenging because you can get people that look badly burnt, but might even be, you know, talking to you initially, but then you know that it's just going to be such a hard row for them in the coming weeks and months, because they're really quite significant injuries to your outside of your skin, anything more than 20% in some ways anything more than 10% is really quite significant, particularly at the full thickness. But then there's the internal injuries, in particular inhalational injury, where you've breathed in the whatever hot air or substance or ash or chemicals, and it's caused injury to your windpipe and lungs. And of course, that's going to make the lung injury very, very difficult, and what a critical organ your lungs are in terms of breathing. So they represent challenges.
What about the volume of patients? And obviously you would have been in contact with your colleagues at Whakatane Hospital, a regional hospital. What kind of volume of people were they seeing, and what kind of pressure?
Indeed. Well, Whakatane is a small regional hospital with fairly limited staffing. It's one of the smallest emergency departments in the country, and they've had a few major incidents in their time, bus crashes and the like, but this threatened to overwhelm them. I think they got nearly 30 patients varying degrees of criticality from helicopters. Apparently it was a bit like a war zone with helicopters buzzing around in the air. People had gone out to pick up the injured, but they rallied staff, had some staff, I believe, came from Tauranga, and coped remarkably well. And it was explicitly said by my colleagues here in Waikato how good a job this fairly small regional hospital had done resuscitating, intubating, putting on ventilators, and having them sent for the definitive care at a variety of hospitals around the country.
So you mentioned about 30 patients there. Can you put that in perspective for me? I mean, would there be any other critical incidents where you would expect to get that volume of patients so seriously injured? Have you seen anything like that in your career?
Well, I draw comparisons, obviously, with the Christchurch terror attack in terms of sheer volume and immediacy of them. There are similarities and differences, of course, and you know, the inflicted nature of the terror attack made that particularly horrifying. There was a little bit more spread of patients, given that they were coming from such a distance. Myself, we had the Tamariri gas explosion. I forget the year. I think 2008, 2009 or so, where we had 8 people.
That's the Coolpack explosion, do you mean?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. Yes, I was involved with that. So that's the closest I've come. But this was really significant. And then obviously the patients were stabilised, a lot of them in Whakatane. A lot of them did fly directly to various other places. We got some patients directly by helicopter as well, but then they've been spread around the country to look after their fairly significant injuries.
Do we have, the expertise and capacity to cope with this, as you've mentioned? I mean, obviously some went to Waikato, some went to Middlemore, and others to the Wellington area. In terms of them being burns injuries and the intensity of treatment that requires, do we have the capacity?
Well, we do. We have some very, very skilled plastic surgeons around the country. Christchurch, I think, have taken some as well. They are very, very busy, the surgeons, and we've spread. I couldn't tell you the totality of the injured people. And it's stretching resources, but certainly in terms of their initial resuscitation and management, we have coped, I believe, as a country pretty well. There'll always be things that you look back and think could have been done better. But on the ongoing treatment, skin grafting and what have you, we use cultured skin to help cover these patients with full thickness burns, and that resource may well be stretched to its limit and beyond.
Explain that to me in a little more detail.
So the skin can be grown in a laboratory that assists with skin grafting. Obviously, it's usually better to use person's own skin, but nowadays you can use skin that has been cultured from cells in a laboratory to use as a temporary or more permanent. And there's a certain amount around in the country. You'd need to speak to one of the plastic surgeons to get a more accurate picture of that. But that's speaking in generality. That's the sort of thing that resource that might be significantly stretched.
And can that be sourced from overseas?
Yes, potentially. Once again, it's not really an area of my expertise. Mm. Mine is really in the initial resuscitation, which has proceeded very well. All departments. Monday is the busiest day of the week in emergency departments internationally, but in New Zealand. We were all very, very busy, and the whole teams pulled together. The physicians, paediatricians, psychiatrists, etc., all came down to help manage patients that weren't involved with this traumatic event. But we had emergency physicians, anaesthetists, general surgeons, plastic surgeons, etc., that all gathered together in a team. We train for this. This is something that we hope never occurs, but we do simulation sessions. And so right around the country, these mass casualty events would have been called. There are incident controls and what have you, and it's something that we are very much prepared for occurring. So there was no real surprises. It was a chance, somewhat sort of traumatic and difficult to put ourselves through our paces, and I believe that we've come through well.
And that's Dr. John Bonning, who is the president of the Australasian College for Emergency Medicine. And an intensive care paramedic says White Island looked like a scene from Chernobyl in the immediate aftermath of the explosion. A veteran of more than 20 years, Rusty Clark was on board one of two Auckland Rescue Helicopter Trust choppers sent to help and flew over the island shortly after the explosion, scouting for survivors who needed to be airlifted.
Initially, there were reports that there was a critical patient on a boat that required to be winched off. In the end, the boat was deemed quite close to the mainland, so we elected not to winch. Once we got over White Island, you could see for quite a few miles a large plume coming from the island, and it was obviously quite an interesting experience. I mean, this is personally for me, this is the first time I've experienced something like this. And obviously, when you combine that with the sheer magnitude of the initial report that there were multiple people on the island at the time, it becomes pretty obviously overwhelming emotionally pretty quickly. And when you combine the potential for injury and loss of life and the sheer magnitude of it, it's quite an ordeal.
How did you feel flying over there, looking down at what you could see?
It was quite, obviously we're very experienced as a crew. We're there to do a job, so you do put your emotions to one side. But at the end of the day, we're all family. We've all got children, and you can't help but feel straight away some empathy for those that are involved and just the sheer magnitude of it. Obviously we've got a job to do, and we try to do it to our best of our ability.
What did the terrain look like after the eruption?
So when we got over there, looking down on it, I would have to describe it as Chernobyl. Looking at seeing the miniseries, looking at it, it was just a complete, absolute whiteout of the area involved. It was quite a very daunting experience, just seeing that initial landscape. There was obviously a helicopter that we could see that got caught up in it, it was quite an overwhelming experience, just for the sheer size of it.
Could you see people?
No, so I couldn't see anybody. There was just a couple of people on the edges of the beach there. There was obviously a few boats that were starting to arrive in the bay there. I didn't see any people myself, no.
So you headed back into Whakatane, and were you involved in treating people who were coming off the boats?
Once it was deemed at the time that that they were satisfied initially that that we got all the people off that we could, then we basically went back to Whakatane, and then we liaised with the incident controller, and then that comes the next phase, which is a big part in itself, is treating and transporting the number of casualties that there was, and there was a few critical patients, to the respective tertiary hospitals that was obviously deemed appropriate at the time.
What can you tell us about the kind of injuries that you saw?
So I can't go into too much specific detail because there needs to be a formal release from the police regarding that. But the injuries, we transported one particular patient that had critical injuries to Middlemore, and I also saw two or three other people with life-threatening injuries as well.
Are you talking burns mainly, Rusty?
Yeah, there was. I can't elaborate on the extent, but there certainly were some burns involved. Yes.
Have you treated burns victims in the past?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is it the same kinds of injuries that you might see from people who have been victims in fires, or is it different?
So, I get initially when we go to any sort of whether it be eruption, and obviously eruptions certainly don't happen every day. So things like we would expect to see or look for things like blast injuries, inhalation injuries, burns, traumatic injuries. So there's a whole raft of things that we prepare for, and.
What do you mean in terms of inhalation injuries? Because I was speaking to a volcanologist who told me that potentially the temperature of the material coming out of the volcano could be 120 to 150 degrees.
Sure. So any environment where there is external factors, like whether it be, as you can probably elaborate with the volcanologist, any sort of exceeding temperatures, like breathing in dust particles, we could expect to find burns of the airways and the mouth, the lungs, and anything like that.